are going to give you a chance, be it that you're a member or a visitor. We give you a chance now to ask your question. At the showing of your hand, someone will bring the mic to you so that you can express yourself in respect to any question that you may have relating to this morning's lesson.
Abraham Mitchell, I have a question, but I don't know if you will take it because it's related to last week's lesson, not this morning lesson.
And last week's lesson.
Sunday morning.
Huh?
Last week, Sunday morning.
Trying to recall what was it that I dealt with then. You may ask a question anyway.
Okay, so it's about the passage in Luke and Matthew that speaks about burying the dead. So there was a gentleman who wanted to follow Christ.
Yes. Let the dead bury their dead.
Yes. If my memory serves me right, in your presentation, you had indicated that the gentleman who wanted to follow Christ, he wanted to go and bury his dead father.
Yes.
Right. But I just wanted to confirm, Brother Mitchell, if the young man's father was actually dead at the time, or he was not dead.
From all indication, is that wherever this person was, he got news that his father had passed. That's the picture one gets. And he now met Christ in the interim and want to follow Christ, but want to go and deal with his father's funeral first. So the father was dead. The passage is Luke chapter 9, and we can turn to it. Luke chapter 9 from verse 57 through 62.
As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father."
Yes, first let me go and bury my father. The implication is not there that his father is elderly and he wants to wait until his father died and then he comes and follow Christ. Because that if that is the case, the death of his father may not come for another year or two or three or four or 20. So that's not the case that we get there. The father was in fact dead, and he wanted permission. Jesus Christ used the opportunity to show the urgency in following him, and that no demand of life worth putting off making a decision for Christ. Remember the lesson was on drawing back, backsliding, and how urgent and how important it is that when we become Christian, we make a determination that whatever life may bring, you are going to remain glued to Jesus Christ. That's when the Bible that talks about, I have no pleasure in them that draw back. That's the point. So that is a lesson there, Brother Vivian. The man, father, was in fact dead. But Christ was in effect saying, you don't have time to go and do that. Tough? Yes. The demand of Christ on Christianity is. When you think of some of the simple things that keep Christian from worship, are we all there? Always use everyday one. You get up planning to come to worship. It is God's due. You as a Christian recognize that it is God's due. The ungodly man does not recognize it. Unfortunate for that man or woman who is not a Christian. Fortunate for the Christian who recognize God's right to some of our time. And that time is set aside. When Sunday morning comes, every true child of God should think about worship. When you think of the amount of time God gives us to do our own private business, huh? And for just a few hours committed to Him, out of gratitude and thankfulness and acknowledgement, we make trivial things. We get up planning to come to service. A relative from country pop up, or a friend, and we take time, put on the Bible. We now worry come church. In fact, sometimes we see that as a good opportunity, our excuse, not realizing that God is watching the things that we put before Him. So when Jesus Christ said to this guy, let the dead bury their dead, that is, let the relative home who are spiritually dead. Because you see, if they do not know Christ, they are spiritually dead. So when Christ said, let the dead bury their dead, you are speaking of two kind of dead there. Those who are spiritually dead should take responsibility for he who is physically dead. Let them do the funeral. You have something more important to do. You mean more important than burying my father Christ? Jesus Christ would just look on you and said yes and gone about his business. So we have to think of the demand of Christianity. Okay? There's a question that I believe this question came about from a lesson 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. It was handed to me today. I'm going to answer it, and I do hope the person who asks it is here. Oh, this question was submitted online. The The question goes like this: the Jew today is still God's people. Okay, I'm not sure if this, I'm treating it as a question. The way it's worded, I'm not sure if it is a statement or a question, but I'm treating it as a question. The Jew today is still God's people. Please explain. And the person refer to Romans 9, 7 through 10. Let us hear that passage. Could one of your brothers read that aloud for us?
Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Read.
That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. That's verse 9.
True 10.
And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Verse 10 again. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac.
Okay. So, let me read the question again to make sure that we all understand when I answer what is being addressed. That the Jews today are still God's people. No. I'm going to say it again. No. The Jews' purpose was to bring Jesus Christ into the world. God used the Israelite nation for that reason. God's master plan was to bring Jesus Christ and establish Christianity and select from the entire human race all ethnic, racial, geographical, national group, one people known as Christian. When Jesus Christ came, lived, died, buried, resurrected, and the church got started, in fact, even during the time of Jesus Christ, the Jews as God's people was being diminished. The Almighty God has one people today. The Christian, the Church of Christ. When we are told in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and finally, the passage that there's neither Jews in Galatians, there's neither Jews nor Greek, bond nor free, but we are all one in Christ. In Galatians, the one I was going to say. We can also bring 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, but the passage in Galatians, well, in fact, that statement is found probably some two or three other places in the New Testament, that there are neither Jews nor Greek or Gentile.
Galatians 3:28.
Let us hear that passage read.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Everybody get that? We are all one in Christ. One in Christ. Christ has one family. We are told of God's plan to reconcile both Jews and
Gentiles
in one what? One body. Ephesians chapter 3, I think. What you just read?
Galatians 3:28.
Okay, no, Ephesians 3:6. Ephesians 3:6.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
Read it again, brother.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
So the Almighty God today does not have some people that are Jews and some that are Gentile. The Almighty God today doesn't have a composition of a Jewish church as Christian and a Gentile church as Christian. He has one true church, the Church of Christ, where the Jews would have lost their Jewish identity. And the Gentile would have lost their Gentile identity. They are no more Jews or Gentile. They are Christian. Look, the brothers just read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Look at the same Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16.
And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross.
Here again, you see, what I'm emphasizing, or why these passages, is to show, I repeat, and it is just a point blank statement, no, the Jews today are not God's people. Unless they become God's people through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we are going to go to a few passages on that. You know, they being God's people as a Jew is traced back to Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, through the children of Israel. You all got the rough genealogy there. But God's ultimate plan in Abraham was Christianity and the church. God's ultimate plan in Abraham was for those who become God's children through True? Such a pretty handwriting, and you can't read it. True faith. That's God's plan in Abraham. And what condition was Abraham counted righteous? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteous. It's faith in God. You must never forget that. It's the man's faith in God. Abraham believed God. Genesis chapter 12. I think chapter 16 or 17. Chapter 22. All these in Genesis is where that statement is expressed. And the New Testament, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So therefore, ever since then, the Almighty God had planned that on the basis of faith, he's going to establish a people spiritually as a pattern of Abraham's faith. Jews are not, well, let me, biological Jews, those who are Jews after the flesh, after their biological lineage, they are not today God's people. The only people God has today since 3032 AD, when the Church of Christ began, are those who became God's people through faith, repentance, and baptism. That's it. Let us look at a few more passages on that. Galatians 4:28.
Now we, brethren.
What? Okay, go on. Uh-huh.
Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise.
We who? We the Christian. This passage came up Wednesday night. We the Christian are the children of promise, not the biological Jew necessarily. That was verse 28. Look at the same Galatians 3:29.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed.
What does it mean, if ye be Christ? You could almost read, if you are Christian, meaning if you are a follower of Christ, meaning if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're a follower of his, you are whose seed?
Abraham.
Yes, you're Abraham's children. That's that. Remember, I put the date of Abraham's time, some biblical historian, 1890 BC. That's about the time that Abraham lived, or the time that God made the promise to Abraham. That's almost 2,000 years before Jesus Christ. The Almighty God was setting the stage for Christ, Christianity, and the church. The plan of salvation we have now, we're a man here, believe, repent, confess, get baptized. All that was bound up in when the Almighty God says that through thy seed shall all the nation of the earth be blessed. That blessing has to do with forgiveness of sin, which comes through believing and obeying Jesus Christ. So when you read there that if we are, verse 29, chapter 3, Galatians.
And if we be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed.
If you are a follower of Christ, if you are obedient to Christ, if you believe in Christ, you know, if we be Christ, that means if we belong to Christ, we are Abraham's seed, not the biological Jews. Another passage is Romans chapter 9, verse 24.
Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles.
Even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only. He called Jews and Gentiles. That's his people today. When Jews and Gentiles respond to God's call in obedience, they become Christian, God's people. The Jews today, if they do not believe, repent, and baptize, they are not God's people anymore. Same chapter 9 of the book of Romans, read from verse 30.
What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith.
Everybody get that? The Gentiles, watch here. That is throughout the Gentiles' history. They had nothing to do with righteousness. They are among the people that God permitted to walk in their own ways. But they have ultimately attained to righteousness. But it is the righteousness which come how?
Of faith.
By?
Faith.
Faith. Huh? By?
Faith.
Faith. Huh? Read on, brother.
But Israel,
which followed after the law of righteousness,
have not attained to the law of righteousness.
That's right. Remember, no one can be God's people if you do not attain to righteousness God's way. So here it is comparing. The Gentiles who did not make righteousness their goal or objective throughout their history, they have attained to it. You know why? They turned to Jesus Christ in faith. The Jews who were on the path of righteousness throughout their history, they have not attained to righteousness. Why? Let me hear it.
Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith.
You hear it? Huh? It is through faith that men and women are going to become God's children today. Notice, neither I nor the Bible says faith only. Because faith without works is dead. Always remember that. Faith must always carry with it the works of obedience. Very important. Yeah. Read on a little further.
Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it is, whereby the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold.
It's good that you are following, because it is showing you why the Jews are not God's people. The Almighty God has one way of making men and women his children and his people today. Faith and obedience. The Jews reject Jesus Christ, the only source of man's salvation. And the passage the brother is reading here is sort of outlining why the Jews is there in general. Doesn't mean that all Jews, but in general, why the Jews are not God's people. Read on, brother.
As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
You see, if you stumble at Jesus Christ, the stumbling stone, it means you are lost. You are not God's children. Read on a little more.
That's the end of 33.
Okay. Let us still stay in Romans. Let us hear chapter 10.
Brethren, my heart desire and prayer for God, for Israel.
My heart's desire, that is, I wish, I hope, I want Israel to be saved. My heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel.
Is that they might be saved.
That they might be saved.
For I bear them record.
I bear them record.
That they have a zeal of God.
That they have a zeal of God.
But not according to knowledge.
But not according to knowledge.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness.
Wait. It's important. And yes, it comes back to the lesson that we are on. Second part, Sunday morning. The Almighty God has a specific way of making men and women righteous today. When you or I or any man or woman, however sincere, rejects Jesus' way of making men and women righteous today, you are considered an unbeliever. You are considered a person who have no faith. If you are going to attempt any change or alteration or adjustment in God's plan to save you. For they being ignorant of what?
Of God's righteousness.
That is God's way of making men and women righteous. You cannot be ignorant of it and become a Christian the right way. Somebody ought to teach you, must teach you, how God planned to make men and women righteous today. And it is a simple plan that you must hear the word, the gospel, believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sin, confess faith in Christ, and get baptized. It is simple, so simple that men and women are rejecting it for some complicated plan. What are we on? The one people God has as his people today are the Christian, members of the body of Jesus Christ, his church. Jews, wherever they are found today, yes, biologically they might have sprung from Abraham and all of that. They are not God's people unless they accept Jesus Christ. The passage in Romans chapter 10 that is before us is what the Bible says. For they being ignorant of
God's righteousness.
And going about to
establish their own righteousness.
That is, they are doing their own thing. Have not
submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Isn't that plain? It is plain. They are ignorant of God's righteousness, and that is telling us that God has a way of making man righteous. Being ignorant of it, and that is what why we find so many denominations today, you know. Men and women who go out and be founder of church, man-made churches, they too are ignorant of God's righteousness. They too don't realize that God has one way of making all men and women righteous. So this man goes out and be founder of his denomination. This one goes out. Be found of his denomination. And the foolishness we hear that, yes, we are all one in Christ. We can't believe so many different things and be one in Christ. in the beginning of answering this question I'd asked that we read also 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. But we won't worry, read it, that we all be one in whom?
In Christ.
And that we all speak?
Same thing.
The same thing. Verse 4.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
You see how the Bible keep emphasizing belief? You see how the Bible is playing here? Jesus Christ is the end of the law. Wait. The Jews were, to this day, they are trying to gain righteousness through that source. Like Sabbatarian, Seventh-day Adventists. But here the Bible plainly thing that Jesus Christ is the end of that system. And verse 5 and 6 contrast the two systems. Let us hear.
For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them.
That is, if you are going to be made righteous by the law, you have to live by the law. That's right. Read on.
But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise.
You notice the contrast? Two different ways. It's showing man's way. The Jewish way of gaining righteousness. They don't accept that Jesus Christ nailed the law to the cross. They are still trying to be made righteous through it. The passage just read tells us that Jesus Christ is the end of that. Then verse 8.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth.
No, verse 6.
But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead?
Mm-hmm.
But what say
they? Wait. You see, men and women who are trying to look for excuse not to accept Jesus Christ and to become obedient. It's like they're searching that we need a Savior. The Holy Spirit in Paul is telling you, you are without excuse.
Verse
8.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
The word of what?
Faith.
Here again, faith. That's the gospel. You see, in other words, your Savior is already here. And the way of making you righteous, that is the word of faith. That's the gospel. Is here too.
Read on. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
This is applicable to both Jews and Gentiles. And in effect, verse 9 is telling us how one to become a Christian. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, you are going to confess that which you believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For with the heart, man believeth, that is verse 10.
Unto righteousness.
And with the mouth.
And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
Verse 11.
For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
All along, first it contrasts the law and faith. Then all along it is emphasizing belief and faith. Belief and faith. Of course, obedience is implied, because remember, faith without works is dead. The works of obedience. And then it went on to reason with us. We could read the entire chapter and it will show. Just one or two more passages and the lesson is yours. That was let me hear verse 21.
Brother Mitchell, I think we could read verse 12.
Please, brother.
For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich.
You are here. And that is, when we become Christian, we are one. That's right. And Jesus Christ would be Lord over all of us when we become Christian. Then verse 31.
No, 21?
21.
But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people.
Everybody hear that? Everybody get that? This is how God sees Israel today. In Jesus Christ, the Almighty God is stretching out his hand of mercy to Israel. But find that they are what?
Disobedient.
Disobedient.
And gainsaying.
And gainsaying people. Okay? Just run to the last passage. Romans chapter 11, verse 7.
What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded.
Mm-hmm. Read.
According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see.
This is talk about Israel, you know. When God saw that they not only reject the prophets of old, they reject Jesus Christ. And what is being described here is part of God's strong delusion. That's right. Read that little part again.
Eyes that they should not see.
Mm-hmm.
And ears that they should not hear.
Mm-hmm.
Unto this day.
And to this day. Read on.
And David said, let their tail be made a snare,
mm-hmm,
and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back away. I say then, are they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy.
Okay, so we'll stop that. I was going to ask also, but you read from verse 19, but we'll stop here tonight. What we are doing here is showing that whatever the Jews or any theologian may claim, the Almighty God has one people today, and that is the church, the Christian, the true church of Christ. When men respect the gospel, learn the truth from it, believe in Jesus Christ, submit their lives to his rule and authority, and live according to the gospel, they become part of God's family. Jews are Gentile. But biologically, God doesn't have a people today known as Jews or Israelite. No. Any Israelite today would be spiritual Israel, and that is the Christian. But we won't get into that tonight. So please remember that. And it matters not what anybody claims. We'll talk about what the Bible teaches. We appreciate your question. And to tell you the truth, of course, the lesson that was planned for tonight, the sevenfold consequence of sin entrance into the world. The sevenfold consequence of sin entrance into the world. God's willing, we will look on some of the curse that comes upon the world because sin was given an entry into the world. If you're here tonight and if you're a visitor, not a child of God, you can become a Christian. Many times during the lesson, I point out, that is the lesson tonight, that you must hear God's word, believe it, repent of your sin, confess Christ's name, and be baptized. You can do that tonight. And if you're a Christian who have grown weak, backslide, you can recommit your life to Christ tonight. Thank you.